St. Paul tells the Galatians that Jesus came born under the law to redeem those under the law. The law was unable to save. All it could really do was point out our deficiencies, our inability to save ourselves, our inability to be as perfect as God wanted us to be, as God designed us to be. Sin had impaired the human race. And sin upon sin, generation upon generation, had made that worse and worse until the situation had just become hopeless. But that was okay for God, because God can redeem anything. God can make anything happen. He can bring pregnancy to old people who are long past the age of childbirth. He can bring infancy to a virgin. Anything is possible with God. But Jesus comes to show that possibility that God holds out for us. And it isn't something that we can be deluded by the law into thinking that we can accomplish ourselves, but rather it's just pure gift. And so Jesus comes to announce that favor of God, that God isn't holding our sins against us, that God isn't angry, that God is love. And in the same way that he lovingly spoke and creation began to be, that same spirit that pushed out the word at the beginning of creation now breathes, hovers over Mary, and she conceives the Son of God. And he comes to announce that we are children, heirs, not slaves, but children. Was that something new? Of course not. We'd always been children of God. What's new is the announcement of it. The word speaks the announcement, the revelation of that truth that always was, but we doubted it because of sin. We imagined separation from God, but that was never in God's mind. God never saw us as distant or separate from himself. We're the ones who invented that idea. And so he sends his son to announce the good news that we were wrong all the time, that we thought that we were distant, far from God, and we weren't. We thought that if we just followed certain laws that we could save ourselves, and we were wrong, because salvation comes from God alone. And so Jesus comes into the midst of the human condition, takes on our human nature, and joins it to his divine self, so that what was in Jesus, namely the perfect union of God and flesh, God and creation, is our destiny as well. And as a forebear of that, as a promise of that, we have Mary. Mary conceived without original sin, not impaired with that doubt, not impaired with that sense of separation, able to say a complete yes to God because of that virgin truth that dwelt within her. And then she's assumed into heaven bodily. She doesn't die like the rest, but she's assumed bodily into heaven as a sign for all of us that's what our destiny is too. That we're going to be with God forever, and we're not going to be some kind of disembodied spirits, but we're going to have our bodies there with us. When Jesus ascends to the Father, he doesn't become a disembodied spirit. He takes his body with him. And when he rises from the dead and his resurrected body, which his disciples don't always recognize, to help them realize that it's really him, he shows them his wounds, which are still there, because he's flesh. And he asks if they have anything to eat, and he eats in front of them to show them that he's not a spirit, that he's not a ghost, but he still has his body with him, but he's risen from the dead to show us, to beckon us into that same experience, that death has no more power over us than it had over Jesus, because love is stronger than death. And if we love, And if we allow love itself to enter into us and transform us into itself, that's salvation. And we celebrate that so powerfully in the Eucharist every time we gather around this altar, taking God into ourselves, that this corporeal experience, this experience of flesh and blood, this experience of corporeality that is so much a part of the human nature, God has joined God's self to that human nature, to that creatureliness, in a perfect union to show us that we are invited into union with God. If God would become Son of Man, we can become children of God. That's the wonderful exchange that we always celebrate here. He took on our human flesh so that we could take on His divinity. And those are the words that the priest prays silently over the bread and wine during the offertory of Mass every time. By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. That's the mystery of Christmas. That's the mystery of the incarnation. That, as St. Irenaeus said in the early centuries of the church, God became human so that humans could become divine. Divinization, the Eastern theologians used to call it. I think they still do. The making divine of mere humans, the joining of humanity and divinity in us as it was in Jesus. That's the mystery of the incarnation. That's what we celebrate during this Christmas season, but really all year long, don't we? I mean, because that's the mystery of God made flesh that's always with us, not just at Christmas time, but always. That God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son.